This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Anybody who has watched professional football for any period of time certainly know the names Jack Tatum and George Atkinson. There was a golden age with the Oakland Raiders when they had those two guys together along with Skip Thomas and Willie Brown. And they, in my mind at least, made up the best foursome ever to play football, defensive secondary. Jack is with us in the studio along with George Atkinson. Gentlemen, good to have you back here on Sports Byline. And you know what I find interesting? We are laughing and everything. There is a camaraderie about you two and about the Raiders. I find it with the old Green Bay Packers. I find it with teams from a different era. Why is there such a camaraderie among players who played in a previous era that you may not have found today?
Well, I think the reason that you have it now is that back in those days, we had a chance to get to know each other because basically we had the same teams for 8 years. And, you know, year in and year out, you knew the guy you were going to be playing next to. So you got a chance to know the guy, and you had a chance to figure out if you liked him or not. Either, you know, you liked him and you could work with him, or you didn't like him and you still had to work with him. But, you know, you got all to figure all that out. And we got to do it for 8 years, and you just get to know the person real well, and I think that's what it is. We cared about each other.
George, what happened if you didn't like the person?
Well, if you didn't like the person, although you played with him, you stayed away from him, away from the field. But, you know, on the team that we had very little of that. We all got along pretty well together. We had no racial problems, and this was during the time I came up in 1968, played through 1978.
I was still in high school.
That's what you say. But we had no problems. We knew what we were there for, and that commitment to excellence actually meant something to us. You know, I've been reading, and you see things in the paper about the commitment to excellence. Get rid of that meant something, and I think eventually they'll get back to what that means. I think they will instill that into the players, and we were committed to excellence. We all shared one common bond, and that was we wanted to win, and the Super Bowl was our ultimate goal. And winning the playoffs, the championships, and individual games were our goals also. But the ultimate was winning the Super Bowl. We all understood that. We got along. We hung out
good
together.
I know in talking to you guys, you both lamented what you've seen from the Raiders in recent years. I think you were actually angry about it. When I've talked to you, you just shake your head because there was a closeness. There was something special about the Raiders, that commitment to excellence. And I think other teams certainly, if you look at the Rams, if you look at the Purple People Eaters with the Vikings, they certainly had that type of camaraderie as well. When you look at today's Oakland Raider team and the problems that they've gone through, what is it that does upset you about them, Jack?
Well, first, I think the thing that really upsets me when I look at teams like the Raiders is that you see players come in, the players have enough talent to be a great team, but you get these players coming in and they're individuals, they're more worried about the money and it's hard for them to put all these individuals together. And I was talking to George a little while ago, and I remember when I came in, and when I came in, I wasn't worried about impressing the coaches because I had already done that. I was the number one draft choice. I had already impressed the coaches. The thing I wanted to do, I wanted to come in and impress George Atkinson, Willie Brown, and the other guys that I'm going to be playing with in the secondary. Those are the guys that I wanted to know that I could play. And I don't see that nowadays. I see a guy, he's coming in, he's trying to impress everybody, but he gets out in the field and his play does it. He's not impressing anybody with his play.
George, how did he impress you, or did he ever?
Oh, yeah, he did. He came in with that big contract. That impressed him. You know, but you look at impact players, and I think impact players, that word is thrown around a lot. And you see it in papers, this guy's an impact player, and you hear broadcasters, this guy's an impact player. But a true impact player to me is the guy who comes in and makes everybody else rises to a different level because of his play. And Jack was able to do that. He came in with a big reputation, and he lived up to it. And we rose to him in a sense. Not only that, he made offensive coordinators change their game plans, which made it easy for me. That's why I was able to hang around for so long.
And it's kind of interesting, as I look at knowing you four guys, you each had a different personality in a sense, and it blended very well because Skip Thomas was definitely definite difference from Willie Brown. I mean, Skip was Skip, you know. But why did all the different personalities blend so well, so successfully on a football field?
Well, once again, we had that common goal, which was, you know, we were there for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to win it. You got to keep in mind, too, Ron, that we had a great coach in John Madden, a great communicator, and he was able to instill in us the end result of what he wanted to accomplish, and that's what we worked toward was that end result. And I think that with that diversity of players as far as mentalities were concerned, we all were on the same note and the same page when it came to what it meant on Sundays. And I think that's what made it so cohesive for us.
I think you have to go to the leadership that we had on that team, too. In the secondary, we had a great leader. Willie Brown was primarily our leader. But if Willie was having a bad day, it wasn't hard for George to step up and be the leader, or Skip or myself to step up and be the leader. And we didn't depend on the same guy every week to step up and be the leader. It was a different guy every week, and whoever we needed to step up so we could win the game, that's who stepped up. And I think that was the kind of thing that just went around the whole team.
What was your favorite Skip Thomas story, Dr. Death?
Oh, I got a million Skip Thomas stories, but I think Dr. Death was my roommate. And when Skip first came in the league, I was rooming with Clarence Davis. And Doc was there about a year and a half, and John Madden came in. He got me and Clarence. He took us in the office, and he says, look, guys, says, I don't care how you do it. He says, I know you two guys are roommates, but he says, you got to split up. He says, one of you got to take Skip. He said, I'll give you two rooms. That one guy can have a thing. You can switch it around. He said, but somebody's got to watch Skip. He said, you two guys are the only ones he talks to. So we had to take Skip.
How about Willie Brown? You got a good Willie Brown story?
Yeah, there are some stories. This is a family channel, right? But, you know, one story I think comes to mind with me about Willie. Willie very seldom got upset. And who were we playing, the Dolphins?
I think we were playing the Dolphins.
The Dolphins we were playing, and he got an interference call. And he went off, and we trying to calm him down. You know, because now here's the guy that we look at to calm us down. You know what I mean? We're trying to calm him down, man. He went completely off. And that was one of the stories, I think. And I can't say what he said. He went after the referee with some very choice words. And, I mean, that was one of the few times that I saw Willie go off. And it made me realize that I was normal.
Was there a moment when you guys were together 8 or 9 years as a defensive backfield, but was there a particular moment in the early going when you looked at each other, a play, a game where you said, hey, we're damn good?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think the especially that year we beat Pittsburgh.
It was about the second, third year.
The year we beat Pittsburgh, I mean, we handily beat them, I thought, because they were on the rise and they were our competitors.
That was the year you retired Jefferson Street Joe.
Yeah, exactly. And we were in Pittsburgh. And that's when the rivalry had just formed, and we beat them handedly in Pittsburgh. And that's when I thought, hey, we are pretty good. But what happened was I think we got a little bit too confident because they beat us that year in the championship game.
Yeah, but we lost. We played them in that game, and we lost 7 starters in that one game. We got a whole lot of guys hurt, and we struggled the rest of the year.
Yeah, that was, I think, our best. That was 73?
That's 73.
Yeah, I think that was our best team, Ron.
Yeah. What was the overall philosophy that the defensive secondary had about playing the game of football?
Basically, take no prisoners. You know, our thing was that we wanted to discourage everyone who we played against, and we played them tough. During those days, we played man-to-man coverage. We didn't play any zones. And you were faced up man-to-man, and Jack was free. And every once in a while, I get a chance to be free. But our whole thing was discourage and get the team out of their game plan. Give them enough of what we were doing to let them know you got to beat us. And in order to beat us, you got to come with something real strong. And our thing was to discourage their mentality as far as their game plan was concerned and get them to play our game.
Yeah, my thing was that I wanted to control the middle of the field. I wanted our cornerbacks to be able to cover everything to the outside. And if the guy wanted to run a pattern to the inside, they were supposed to funnel him in and go for the interception. And the middle of the field to us was sacred because our corners knew that, you know, they could run a guy in there and they didn't have to be real tight on him because he wasn't going to catch. And if he did catch, he was going to pay for it. So my thing was just to control the middle of the field and make it easy for our corners to cover the outside.
Yeah, intimidation has always been a part of the game, but I really think it's more of a part of the game when you guys played than what it is today. Am I correct in that assumption?
Well, the rules were different.
Right.
You know, and definitely it was, you know, Jack has a great quote. I'll let him get into that. But the rules were quite different, and at that time you could bump guys all the way down the field, and there are just a lot of things that you can do there that you can't do now. But Jack has a great quote, and I'll let him get into
that. Well, we were talking about this thing, and we were talking about the rule changes. And my thing is, starting with the quarterbacks, I think they got 11 guys playing tackle football and one guy playing touchback there. So I think, you know, it's a real unfair advantage for the quarterback to be able to slide head first if he wants to make the first down or feet first if he doesn't want to get touched once he gets down the field, because it puts the defensive player at a real disadvantage because he's got to wait to see what the quarterback is going to do. And the other thing is I think they're legislating bad tackling into the game because when I was there, you could put a hat on a guy, you could run through a guy, but now if you put a hat on the guy, you hit him with the crown of the helmet, it's illegal. You get fined $25,000, you know. And the only difference between a good tackle and a bad tackle is you drop your head 4 inches, you know.
But aren't they using it as a weapon, Jack, almost in a sense?
Well, you know, since been playing football, you've been taught to put a hat on the guy. And I think if you worry about that going in, then you probably wouldn't play football. You'd play basketball or some other sport. But that's the way you've been taught to tackle, and I think that's the correct way to tackle. You put a head on, and you're supposed to hit him with the head and slide the head to the side, wrap the arm. But, you know, most of the times, guys just put the hat on him and go ahead and hit him. And I think if you take that out, you're legislating arm tackling into it, which is totally wrong.
Okay, Jack Tatum and George Atkinson with us, and you give me a little bit longer, and then, indeed, I will open up the lines at 1-800-878-7529. As we continue across the country and around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network and the Internet, we've got you on Sports Byline.